Genesis chapter 50 in your Bibles this evening. Genesis chapter 50. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. One of the greatest stories in your Bible is the story of Joseph. And this tells the last part of his story. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And he spake kindly unto them. Joseph was a young man who had a faith that surpassed the problems that he had, which were considerable. When you know the story of Joseph, oh my goodness, you say that guy from the time he was 17 until the time that he was crowned prime minister in Egypt, he had a great deal of trouble. You understand that when God moves, Satan moves in opposition. Satan moves the opposite way. When you make a decision to live right and to do good and to do something significant for God, Satan has not given up, folks. He's still working in your life, in your church, and in your nation. But understand this, Satan can do nothing more than what God allows, and then God will take that and work it out for our good. Let me just ask you, do you really believe that? Here's what Romans says, For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That is the truth, that is Scripture, and we either believe that or we don't. So this evening, the Joseph principle affirms our confidence in the ability of God to take care of His business and to carry His purposes through. That's what we're going to look at this evening. So the first factor in the Joseph principle is this, the overwhelming wickedness of mankind. People are bad. They're mean. They're low down. They're ornery, they're dirty, they're lascivious, they're filthy. And folks, that's their bad, that's their good side. Where did we ever get the idea that men are good because they're not? Apart from the grace of God, what we deserve, ladies and gentlemen, is an eternity in hell separated from everything that's good. I want you to go with me, first of all, to Psalm chapter 58. Psalm chapter 58. And again, what we are reading is all pure truth. It's right out of the Bible. So Psalm 58, look at verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. That's all of us, folks. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That's right out of the Word, okay? Ecclesiastes 7:20 says this, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Okay? Now I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 3, and you know exactly where I'm headed. Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And now look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Folks, that's talking about us. Without the grace of God, this describes us to a T. About the time you think that we have reached the bottom of depravity, the bottom absolutely falls out. There is a proliferation of evil today that we have never seen in our lifetime. And those of us that's getting on up there in age, we have seen some things through our life, but nothing compares with today. There is an inherent depravity with which we are born. If you were in a class in Bible college, they call that total depravity. Total depravity doesn't mean that we are as bad as we can be. It means we are as bad off as we can be. Without the grace of God, we are destined for hell. And here's the deal, folks. The best of Christians are sinners. Nobody in the world is as mean as a backslidden child of God. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. But first of all, if we go back into the Old Testament, and there's King Saul. Boy, God so blessed him. He was the first king over Israel, and God had blessed King Saul, and he got mad, first of all, at David, threw his javelin several times, trying to nail David to the wall. David was quicker, got out of the way. Not only did he try to kill David, he tried to kill his own son, Jonathan. Took the same javelin and chunked it at his son. And then you look at David. And I just got through reading it because it's where I am in my Bible study. But you go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. One of the most sordid stories you will ever read. It's the story of David and Bathsheba. And you know the story. Not only did David go into Bathsheba, but he also had her husband killed. Uriah the Hittite was a good man. He was a good soldier of David, and David had him killed. And then David tried to cover it up. No one in the world is as mean as a backslidden child of God. Go with me to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Lest we get high and mighty and say, oh, it couldn't happen to me. Mark chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 66. Here's one of the apostles. He is one of the three chosen apostles to go on the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. His name is the Apostle Peter. Listen to this. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." He is lying through his teeth. Okay? And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. That is, the rooster went cock-a-doodle-doo. All right? And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." And he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." I don't know that blankety blank Jesus. This is the Apostle Peter. What point am I trying to make? Everyone who will cross Joseph's path will hurt him. When he came to his brothers, they saw him in that coat of many colors. He was afar off, and their jealousy said, "Let's kill him, and then, let's don't kill him. Let's make some money off of him. Let's sell him into slavery." And they did. And he goes down to Egypt, and he runs into another wonderful person whose name is Sister Potiphar. It's obvious to you Satan can't afford to leave a man like Joseph alone. He is going to stay on his case. In jail, another wonderful person, the butler, forgot him, and he's in jail probably another 2 or 3 years. Here's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the overwhelming wickedness of mankind. There better be no duplicity in our thinking about that. It doesn't matter what anyone else does, you do right. Don't you put it on anybody else. You do what's right. The second factor in the Joseph principle is the overseeing providence of God. God will never leave us or forsake us. Joseph was always getting messages from heaven, either in dreams or by people. God wouldn't let Joseph go. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul said, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Joseph had an inner tranquility that brought him into favor with people that matter. That's what got him to be prime minister. You understand, according to Deuteronomy, there is a hand holding you. Underneath are the everlasting arms. We used to sing a song, "He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. He's got you and me, sister, in his. He's got the whole world in his hand, and he does. Last of all, the overcoming obedience of Joseph. He never lost faith in God when he is in prison for all those years. He never lost faith in God. There is another individual that such a good man. His name was Job. And Job said this later on in the book of Job, where Job has already lost his 10 kids. He's lost his wealth. He's lost his health. His wife said, "Oh, Job, why don't you just cuss God and die?" I told Tina, man, if I get sick and I'm not feeling good, that's the last thing I need to hear from you. But that's what his wife said. Why don't you just cuss God and die? And then his friends came, and I say friends, they just absolutely eviscerated him. But Job makes this statement. He said, "Though he slay me," the only thing Job had left in his life was his life. That's all he had. His health is gone, his wealth is gone, his kids are gone, his wife is gone. His friends are just awful. And Job says this, "Though he slay me, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." God bless you, Job. Now, I want you to go with me now to the book of Esther chapter 4. Book of Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4 and going to begin reading in verse 15. Esther is one of the sweetest girls in Scripture, and boy, a wonderful child of God. Esther chapter 4, verse 15. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him." To go in before the king without the king inviting you meant your head. But if the Jewish people were going to be saved, she was going to have to put her life on the line. And she says, "I'm going to go in. If I perish, I perish." Now I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to make a point about this. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Paul said this, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." You know what he's saying? What Paul is saying there is, your life is not the issue. Whether you survive or not is not the issue. The issue is this: that is the glory of God. You live your life for the glory of God. He just said, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I don't have to survive. God's glory is the issue in my life. Some of you have heard about an individual named Corrie Ten Boom. She was a little Dutch girl during World War II, and her family took in Jews that would have been killed by Hitler. But she hid, her family hid them. The name of the book was called The Hiding Place. In that book, here's one of the thoughts that she had. She said, "There's no panic in heaven, only plan." And that's the truth. With Joseph, he never doubted that God was working. God's program is to not make you bitter, but to make you better. It's not to endanger you, but to enlarge you. It's not to hurt you, but to help you in your life. So in the story of Joseph, what happens to everyone? Well, first of all, Joseph is made prime minister. His brothers bow down and they are happy to do it. God's people are fed and God's word is kept and Satan is defeated. And hopefully we have learned a valuable lesson this evening. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the great stories that's here. Thank you for these wonderful people that are here this evening. Bless them, dear Father. Bless our lives together. Help us to understand we need each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests. First of all, if you would continue praying for teams.